The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waters beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was at the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Lord, I pray that you give us peace, peace in our hearts, peace that passes understanding, and fill us with your love and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. My grandmother had cats, about 20 in the house because she loved them, and 10 in the barn to control rodents. Once when a litter came, she gave me one, a nearly black kitten. At least in the dark, she looked black. In the sunlight, she glowed the color of amber. So we named her Amber. Early on, it was because of that shine, and we attributed it to her a certain special quality. But her magical spirit grew year by year for 21 years, ancient for a cat. I think there was a mystique about her because she had a sense of peace, a self-confidence, a contentment at who she was. I remember one day when she was only a couple of years old, we had guests who brought their dogs, high-spirited, anxious animals that would run at you and slobber on you as soon as they got out of the car. When the dogs saw Amber in the yard, they thought something like, "Oh, yum, something to chase." The cat continued to walk calmly as the dogs ran at full speed towards her, but she just barely gave them a glance as she went about her business. She didn't scratch them or act defensively towards them. She just didn't get bothered by them at all. It was as if she told them, "Peace, be still." And they came up short and there was calm. I asked myself, who is this cat that even Rex and Rover obey her? It is said that the Egyptians worshipped cats because they domesticated themselves. In other words, cats stopped being wild by living with people on cats' terms rather than on people's terms. Every other animal was domesticated on people's terms, but it seemed to me that Amber was domesticating the dogs on the cat's terms. She could do that because she had an authority that came from peace within her. Peace is a mighty, powerful thing. We think of it as the absence of violence, but it is much more. Peace is a source. St. James wrote in his epistle, "A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace." When I first noticed what that verse said, I was amazed. I thought of peace in terms of the result of good action, kind of like a reward. I'd assumed righteousness would be the soil and peace would be the logical harvest. But that is not what James says. James says peace is the soil and righteousness is the harvest. Peace is the source. Peace is the source of life. Consider Proverbs. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Peace is something to look for. Seek peace and pursue it, Psalm 34:14 admonishes. Seek it, and when you catch a glimpse of it, chase it. Then, inasmuch as you find peace, you have a responsibility to share it. Proverbs 12:20 associates that with joy. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. Peace is valuable, as we hear in this proverb. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Peace is also the best source of change. We see that in the analysis of violent and nonviolent campaigns conducted by Erica Chenoweth. Looking at all the campaigns that involved resistance during the 7-year time frame earlier in this century, nonviolent campaigns achieved success 53% of the time, compared with 26% for campaigns that resorted to violence. Why would nonviolence be so much more effective? First, people are more likely to listen to and support nonviolence protesters. They and their cause are more likely seen as legitimate. The protesters can recruit more effectively, and they are more likely to gain outside support. As they do, the pressure on the regime increases. The second reason why, the regime is more likely to talk with nonviolent protesters, to negotiate with them, and to make concessions. Violent protesters are more likely to be dismissed as extremists, whose violence legitimizes the regime's increasing violent response. Responding to oppressors with peace freed India, tore down the Berlin Wall, and calmed the wind and sea at Jesus' command. Peace, be still. All who rage against the boat, be still. To the storm that would awaken God, be still. Frightened people who do awaken the Lord, be still. Peace to you, even though you don't know for sure who the Lord is, be still. I would say to all anxiety expressed anywhere in creation, even if it is in you, peace, be still. But I think the most important time I could say peace, be still, would be when I need to hear it myself. Peace, be still. The biggest disappointments in my life have come when I responded with anxiety and stress to my world of circumstances. I wish I could go back and respond to the circumstances with peace, and I wish I could have been still. I don't waste much time with regrets. They wouldn't usher in any peace anyway, but forgiveness can usher it in. Normally, God and I work things out through the general confession, and the pronouncement of forgiveness is enough. Sometimes, though, I need the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. It helps to have a priest say to my soul, "Peace, be still. Your sins are forgiven." The prayer of absolution on page 448 says, "Restore you in perfect peace." I restore you in perfect peace. Absolute secrecy of confession is an under symbol of the "peace, be still." The priest will not divulge anything about the confession, and that that will stand against any authority, any other authority. But imagine a priest who hears your confession and blurts out, "You did what? How could you?" And then starts to fidget with anxiety. Thank God that forgiveness doesn't depend on the inner peace of the priest. But wouldn't it be nice if the priest were non-anxious, if she wielded the power of peace? Because that is what the sacrament is meant to do, give you peace and help you to be still. In fact, all leadership positions are best accomplished when you are not reactive, rather, but are able to be at peace and to be still. The youth worker responding to a young person who needs to talk about his sexual orientation. Or the daughter who came to comfort the sick parent, but now realizes it is time to talk about the parent's do not resuscitate status. Or the rector who calms the person screaming at the whole group because he is not getting his way at the vestry meeting. The best way to face someone's anxiety is to be at peace. Good leaders are at peace so they can really listen. Leadership is best accomplished by being a non-anxious presence. Peace in a leader. The ability to be still is very compelling. People will follow such a leader, hire such a leader, invest in such a leader, believe in such a leader. Such a leader can help people face conflict and bring them through. Jesus was such a leader. Jesus said he would do what he saw the Father doing, and he saw the Father being stable and at peace. Being still. And we should do what we see Jesus doing. So our calling is to be at peace and be still. Our job also is to call others into that peace, to share that peace, to share that stillness. And so I say to you, my brothers and sisters, peace, be still.